SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live on Sports Grid, it's Game Time Decisions with you on a Friday night. A lot to get to, no doubt about it. I'm your host, Kevin Walsh. We'll be joined by Coach James Young. Break down a pretty fun NBA board, some interesting college spots as well. Mike Blewett will be with us here in hour number two. Does a great job on in-game live, handling the 4 p.m. window. Every window this week in the National Football League is important. We'll get Mike's thoughts heading into the weekend, get an idea of what's important, what's at stake, and that MVP race with MV Purdy obviously catching the attention. I'll get you my card as well in less than 10 minutes. We open it up here, though. We're, of course, going to take a look at last night's result in L.A., where the Rams handle the Saints 30-22. Look, interesting spot. The Rams controlled this game, it felt like, throughout. A 10-0 early lead, though, at one point after a deep bomb from Derek Carr became 10-7. Saints took the football back with that three-point deficit and were marching. But a turnover on downs, and the Rams made him pay. And then they made him pay at the start of the half. The Saints had moments, though. Couple of deep passes all of a sudden late in the game. It was, as it finished, a one-possession game after a two-point conversion. Saints couldn't get the football back. Saints waited to turn their offenses on until it was too late. You see the final numbers for Derek Carr. 300 passing yards, 3 passing touchdowns. If you're New Orleans, you got to imagine that those numbers lead to a victory. They didn't. And a big part of that, while people will take shots at their early play calling, and rightfully so, and people will take shots at Derek Carr's early decision-making, and rightfully so, this Saints defense didn't have it, and this Rams offense did. And Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay and Puka Nacua and Kyron Williams and everybody on that side of the football for the Rams has to feel great about themselves. They are red hot now, and this is a team that feels dangerous in the NFC playoff picture. We bring in our radio audience. Excited to have you with us here across the Sports Grid Network, including SiriusXM Channel 159. I'm Kevin Walsh with you here on a Friday night. Let's get to that NFC playoff picture. We knew that this game here was going to impact some of it. Rams go up to 8-7, which is big time here. Minnesota and Seattle, the chance to be even with them record-wise through this weekend. But tough games. Seattle has to play the Titans, who are likely without Will Levis. In comes Ryan Tannehill. Is that an upgrade? Maybe not, but I don't think you could really label it much of a downgrade there. Ryan Tannehill has a lot of tenure in Tennessee, and that's a tricky spot. Vikings home dogs against a top team like the Detroit Lions here. LA has the chance to create some separation and potentially be the only 7-loss team in the wild card race. Depends what you get out of Tampa Bay, but that's also for New Orleans right now, hoping to win the NFC South. They will need some help from Jacksonville this week, who may be relying on C.J. Beathard. Overall, you look at this picture, and we mentioned this, by the way, earlier in the week, right? Eagles went out. They'll jump to the 2. But right now, the playoffs started today. Lions, Rams, Stafford in Detroit. I know it's cheesy. I know everybody's saying it. How do you not want that? It would be fantastic. It does feel that people will be desperate to back the Rams if/when they are in the wild card round. Matchups will always come into play, though, but we'll see who LA draws. If the Eagles don't climb up to the 2, Rams draw the Cowboys. We saw that game already. And that was Dallas big time, but markets are moving off of last night's win for the Los Angeles Rams. Quick one more note on this. Forgive me, but I have to. Puka Nacua is all of a sudden looking like he could actually beat out C.J. Stroud just due to the conversation I saw last night for Offensive Rookie of the Year. That's preposterous. Puka's having a great season, one of the best at the wide receiver position any rookie has ever had. C.J. Stroud has actually spent the lion's share of this season in the MVP conversation. The Houston Texans were never, ever supposed to be in the mix that they are, even if some of us thought they could be. They have beaten all expectations. Puka Nacua is in a beautiful offense to be in if you're a top talent wide receiver. And look, again, he's an incredibly talented player, no doubt. But beating out C.J. Stroud for Offensive Rookie of the Year, that would be criminal. We'll see if it happens. Odds say it won't, but conversation last night suggested other. Let's bounce out of the NFL here. As we mentioned, tonight's NBA slate is going to be catching a lot of attention for people when you try and look at some of the spots that we have here. Toronto goes to Philly. Sixers are coming off of, again, one of the best wins any team has all season long. With their beatdown of the Minnesota Timberwolves, Timberwolves did bounce back last night against the Lakers. But how does Philly respond here? Brooklyn welcomes in Denver. Dallas tonight really depleted. No Luka, no Kyrie. They go to Houston to play the Rockets. Tough spot there. Jimmy Butler remains out, so it's a light line in South Beach tonight here for the Heat against the Hawks. Sacramento, Phoenix, probably your game of the night, as Durant and Booker need a win. I mean, this team has been struggling right now. No two ways about it. An overall 14-13 record, but it's not going to be easy sledding tonight. Sacramento coming off of a big-time embarrassment, quite frankly, punched in the mouth by the Boston Celtics, who were without Jason Tatum. Sacramento favored at home. And then pool party. We're hearing about it. Jordan Poole back in Golden State. Washington on the second leg of a back-to-back. The last times we've seen Washington, who last night actually, I believe, eked out a one-point victory over Portland on the road. The Blazers, their last two times on the second leg of a back-to-back, have allowed 143 and 136. So we can talk pool party all you want. Steph Curry could be in position to have himself a wild night here against the Washington Wizards. We'll pop this back up here. And again, we're with you for 2 hours on a Friday night up until 8 p.m. It'll be in-game live that takes over for you here on a Friday night. Dave Sharapan, Matt Perrault, as always, on the grid. We can get over to our quick pick, though, if we want, which is where we're going to back. We're going to stay in the NBA with the Nets and the Denver Nuggets here tonight. And I like what Spencer Dinwiddie's bringing to the table here. Over 21.5 points plus assists. Spencer Dinwiddie has been on fire for Brooklyn. You take a look at the point guard for the Nets. 11 of his last 14 games, he has gone over this prop. His assist numbers have been skyrocketing in that 14-game window, averaging 8 assists per game. He's coming off of a season-low 2 assists against the New York Knicks. And that was, again, before he really supplanted himself as the lead ball handler for Brooklyn. So I love a bounce-back spot in the assist category. Love a bounce-back spot in the points category. Only scored 10 against the Knicks last time out on, I believe it was 3 of 11 shooting for Spencer Dinwiddie. So it's a bounce-back spot in both categories, which is not rare when you, which is kind of rare when you play a combination like this. I'm going to be on Spencer Dinwiddie in this spot over 21.5 points plus assists. I don't have any Jamal Murray in this game, but Jamal Murray, by the way, is someone you got to keep your eyes on in this props market here. Number comes up a touch to 20.5. Landed 20 in Toronto. First time he had missed a would-be 20.5 number on the road since returning. If Denver doesn't run and hide here, which they did last time they saw Brooklyn, Jamal Murray could be getting through his numbers. We'll set up the whole card here tonight. 4 picks in the NBA right now. 3 picks on the college basketball board, including one that told me I was crazy for making that play. We'll talk about the card next right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on SportsGrid. I'm Kevin Walsh. It's Game Time Decisions. We got a lot to get to here on a Friday night. I'm basketballed up because gave myself a bowl ban. Don't deserve to bet tonight the game between UCF and Georgia Tech. I think that's only fair. I was on Syracuse last night. What do you want? Probably the worst bet of my life. 45-0. I laid 3. We didn't score. We were in Wildcat with a tight end. It's got to get out of it here. Know a lot of people like the over in the game. I don't mind some juice. Shout out to the boy, Jerp. This game goes at 6:30 here tonight, but we will be live with Bowl Bonanza Part 2 tomorrow on College Football Today, 9 a.m. Eastern start time. Myself, Ben Stevens, and Joe Lisi. Bowl ban will be lifted, obviously, to get through that slate. Looking forward to it. What I'm not banned from betting, though, yet, is the NBA. Tyrese Haliburton really bothered me last night. I know it was a 2-1 night overall, but I mean, Hallie, 12 attempts from three, can't get him to fall against Memphis. Grizzlies hot, 2-0 obviously now since Ja Morant's come back. A lot of people excited about what Memphis could bring to the table. Grizzlies are a team I do have a future on, so we would love to see them start to turn it around. But if we're talking about teams I have a future on, none I'm more excited about than the Philadelphia 76ers. Right now, an argument for the best team in basketball. They sit at 19-8, and they are at home. An 8.5-point favorite against the Toronto Raptors, total 230.5. There's a world these teams do business when we get closer to the trade deadline time. Now, it's not the most realistic world because I never really believe in the Raptors doing any kind of business. They sit around and hope that they will strike lightning twice as they did with the Kawhi Leonard deal, but that is never going to happen again. And at some point, people will realize that Masai Ujiri does not have the Raptors' best interest at hand, but maybe Pascal Siakam or OG Anunoby tonight wants to step up and showcase a team like the Sixers what their services would mean. And specifically, I hope that's the case for OG Anunoby, who is in an all-time bounce-back spot. Three consecutive games of single-digit scoring for OG Anunoby. And that right away caught my attention. He's obviously much better than that. You're finding his points prop dropping down to 13.5. He has not missed, though, his points plus rebounds prop this year in four straight games all season. There's been a couple of times he actually has missed this number three in a row. But the fourth is key, and the fourth is the bounce back spot. Why do we bring the rebounds in? We mentioned with Spencer Dinwiddie, bounce backs available in both categories. The rebounding department for OG Anunoby, his last three games out, he has grabbed five rebounds total. In the five prior games, he was averaging over five rebounds. This game tonight here for OG to me, 21 points, six boards, gets involved, hits a couple of threes here, and I think he will play well in Philadelphia tonight. OG Anunoby is a guy we're hearing more reports about even within the hour, that the Sixers apparently, or the Raptors rather, will do everything they can to keep him in Toronto. Why? I don't know. The other day, apparently the story was they were going to tank, sell off everybody that they possibly could other than Scotty Barnes. They don't know if they're coming or going there. And again, that's the shop that Masai Ujiri has been running for a while. It's a good thing they didn't get anything from Fred VanVleet, who's tearing it up right now in Houston. Speaking of Houston, we go Jalen Green over 17.5 points. This number dropped a little bit. It's back up to 18.5. I was going to play it there. If you're going to play it at 18.5, that's fine. This is one of, if not the ugliest bets I've made entire NBA season. He's gone under this number in four straight home games, six consecutive overall, eight out of nine in the month of December. But Jalen Green had 20-plus points in seven of his first nine home games, and I like that the Rockets are back home tonight. I love the opponent, which is Dallas with nobody. This is a get-right game for whoever needs to get right, and that is Jalen Green. Fred VanVleet's been hooping 32-15 last time out against the Hawks. Jabari Smith Jr. going wild, 34-13 in that game. Dylan Brooks always wants to get right for himself, but even played well in that matchup. Shot 5 of 6 from three. It is Jalen Green who has been the struggling man for Houston. And if this Rockets team wants to capitalize on a hot start and be in the postseason race, they're going to need Jalen Green to play much better basketball. His field goal percentage to start this season was over 42%. And while that's not great in the month of December, it is under 35%. This is an opponent he can feast on, and I think that is exactly what you will see here for Jalen Green at home. It is... not the greatest spot of all time, just due to how poor he's been playing, but at times you have to be willing to dig through the dirt. We mentioned Dinwiddie, right? 21.5 points plus assists over an 11 of his last 14, season low two assists. He scored 10 points last time out on 3 of 11, shooting double bounce back spot here. He's been very good on the bounce back spot throughout this run, which is no surprise considering the hit rate. And then lastly, maybe my favorite bet on the NBA board tonight is over 36.5 points plus assists for De'Aaron Fox. Now, Fox is not in a typical bounce back spot where always coming off of a bad game. Fox actually finished up with some pretty nice numbers against the Boston Celtics, but they were kind of all first half numbers. 29 points on 9 of 16 shooting. Again, this team was ran off the court by the Celtics. He only played 26 minutes. The bounce back spot for Fox is in the win-loss category. So far, that was actually now only the seventh game Fox has played in this year where the Kings have lost. Here is De'Aaron Fox after a loss so far this season. 37-8, 26-5, 36-12, 26-16, 34-7, 41-37. De'Aaron Fox is averaging 42.5 points plus assists and has cashed the over on a 36.5 points plus assist prop in 5 out of 6 times that he has been in this spot. At home, big opponent like Phoenix, love a step-up slide here from De'Aaron Fox on the Phoenix Suns. College basketball, interesting night tonight on the college board here. The biggest game is probably going to be viewed as... what do you think? Illinois, Missouri, don't love that game. Probably a light lean towards the over. Marquette, Georgetown, Marquette's team totally could talk me into. But I decided to get involved with some bad basketball teams tonight. First, we start with Mississippi Valley State and fading the Delta Devils, the worst team in all of college basketball, the worst rating on KenPom, 0-11 straight up this year. They have covered twice this season against high-level teams. Against UConn, they caught 44.5. They lost only by 34. Against Gonzaga, 41.5 point underdog. They ended up losing by only 38. Tonight, Baylor beats this team by 50. Baylor 4-1 against the spread this season as a home favorite, but more important than any of that, off 2 straight losses. Embarrassed by Michigan State and ultimately couldn't get the job done against Duke at Madison Square Garden. You are going to get a fired up Baylor Bears who step up to the plate here and knock the heads off of the Delta Devils. This team, Mississippi Valley State, typically ends up in this spot and they don't cover. This has been a good year for them in this respect. This is not a good spot for them because Baylor can beat this team by 55, 60 points, truly. You want to play the over, I don't mind it because I've got Baylor getting into the hundreds in this game. But I'm going to lay the number here. 40 points with Baylor in this spot. I'm also going to play an over with another bad team involved. That would be Chicago State outside of the top 300 on KenPom. But Chicago State has had a step-up spot this year. It was against Northwestern, and somehow they damn went out and won that game. They won the game. It's probably the craziest result we'll have all year long, considering that Northwestern beat Purdue, best team in college basketball. But because of that, I think you get a locked-in Wisconsin. And while some people will say, oh, that means that Wisconsin's going to play great, great defense, if they do and they run and hide, that means you get some looser final 10 minutes in this game. But the Badgers are 3-1 to the over as a home favorite this season. I'll play over 133.5. And then I got sent this pick to someone today. They wrote, Notre Dame is a joke. You have to be kidding me. Joe Lisi style. I liked it even more. Marist has played the fourth easiest schedule in all of college basketball. Now or never, Notre Dame -5.5. Come on. Be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on SportsGrid, I'm Kevin Walsh. It's a Friday night, joined by Coach James Young. Lucky to have you carve out some time for us, JY. How you feeling, sir?
Hey. It's a holiday season. You know, I got to do the shopping.
Right.
I got my Amazon specials on, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, pop those back up.
I look like, we like the Dudley boys with our glasses on, you know?
Okay, you know what? That plays. I'm such a sucker. He knew. He goes wrestling. I fall right in. Let's get Spike Dudley out here. We'll do a whole deal. All right, JY, here's the reality. I gotta bring up something quickly. And then we'll go through all the plays and the action that we have to discuss tonight. So last time you were on, you went a sweeping red hot 5-for-5. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy for you, but it was at my expense. Ooh. And we had some head-to-heads. And you winning with the Clippers is fine. I shouldn't have trusted the Pacers. They look very fraudulent all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. The in-season tournament might have ruined a couple of teams. Yeah. I'm still mad that you got that Minnesota win in Miami. Up 17, that should have never happened. Jimmy Butler, fraud? Not really, but I'm upset about it, JY. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm upset about it.
Hey, listen, we have our days. We have our days. I was hot. I got a couple plays that went off, but it's a double F. It's a fresh Friday. It's Christmas weekend, and I heard you earlier with your play with Houston, and I got a guy. I'm not going your guy, but I'm going with a different guy with Houston tonight.
That's not head to head. I want to stick with something though, Jay, because we got some time tonight. You're going to be here for the next 20 minutes or so, which I'm happy about. If I mention Minnesota, and this will take us into the Sixer game a bit, but Embiid with the early performance of the year, 51-12 on a Timberwolf team that had entered obviously playing great basketball, great defense, best record in the league at the time. It's now Boston. He's down to a plus 155 favorite to win league MVP. What did you make of the movement for Joel Embiid and where he is in the market now?
I would say this, Kidda. You could argue that Joel Embiid has been better this year than last year. Now, we can go back a couple of years ago and say, well, maybe should have won it in 21-22, right? That's always been an argument. He won it last year. And I think because of the way he has been this year, including a lot of some of his metrics up, including his assists, I think he's been better this year because of there's no James Harden. So to me, it makes sense that he, with Harden leaving, right, and not getting back major, I guess you wouldn't call major pieces back, that he should be at the top of the board because of the way his team is playing. But specifically, like he is playing, and he put on a great performance versus the best team in the league record-wise and the best defensive team by the metrics, because you have to go look at the defensive player of the year, and it's been Rudy Gobert, who was at minus money earlier in the week. So you line up his performance versus Gobert, big win. That is enough to move the market, and right now Joel Embiid should be the favorite to be the MVP.
I think this was my takeaway. I'll see if this lands for you. So if Jokic was the favorite, and you know, like Jokic was the preseason favorite, and that just kind of stayed steady. I'm talking about if Jokic made a move, right? Minus 105, minus 110. I would probably just let that go. I think people will want to give Jokic league MVP. Finals MVP, obviously. Last year, people started to turn the conversation in the postseason that, oh, it should have never been Embiid. It should have been Jokic. So if it was Jokic, it's going to be Jokic. I think if it's Embiid, right? We will get to a point in the calendar, JY, where people will start to argue against him because they don't really want to give him the MVP. They don't want to give him a second in a row without postseason success. A lot of those people will be the people who complain that that happened to Jokic and not realize how hypocritical they're being, but that's besides the point. But I now feel like with Embiid as the front runner, and I agree with you, he deserves to be it. SGA, Luka, Giannis, deep shots, there is more reason to believe they can get in the mix, because I think Embiid could be easier to knock off his spot as the favorite.
Yes, I think so, especially the fact that he's defending, you know, the league MVP. If that narrative is that he's already won one, and you know how it is, Kato, after a while, they just want to start moving guys. I must be honest. I mean, how many MVPs should LeBron have had in a row? How many MVPs could Shaq have had in a row? How many could Jordan have in a row? So it gets to a point where the writers want to start moving guys off and bringing in new guys into the picture. But the thing is if Embiid keeps putting up performances like this, and this Sixers team stays in that top 2-3 in the East, I don't care about what he did last year in the postseason, because what he's did in a regular season, minus James Harden, is put up better stats. He's gonna get coached better, let's be honest, with Nick Nurse. So to me, it's gonna be harder to knock him off than you think, unless sports writers move off of him. Here's the other thing. It doesn't happen as much in the NBA as it happens in other sports. Embiid is a likable guy. Guys like him. The media likes him. He's not mean. He's not nasty. He's kind of funny. He answers everybody's questions. He's not surly with the media. So I think that helps him. He's well-liked. So I think that's the thing. And I think as Philadelphia, as they continue to stay in that top two or three, if he puts up the stats, He's got to stay as the favorite unless somebody has to go running away with a leaked best record. Like, the only guy you can look at is, all right, if Oklahoma City gets to the first seed in the West, you say, okay, maybe SGA. But I don't think you can jump from someone that has not been considered that high to just going and winning the award. He's got to work his way up. So for that, unless it's Giannis or Luka, I think it's going to be Embiid, and it should be Embiid if he keeps playing the way he's playing.
What I would say, the only thing I push back on, JY, is I think there are some people who do not like Embiid because of the postseason failures, and there are going to be people who say he's going to have to earn a second. Now, Jokic didn't have to earn the second. They just gave it to him as the sixth seed, but I think that'll be some conversation. SGA last year actually did finish top five, first team all NBA, and he might have the highest approval rating in likability of any star player in the league. Maybe that's because people's opinion is either I don't have one or I love him, usually with an SGA, because he's not been, you're right, in the spotlight for super long. But man, this Thunder team, people are pumped about. Chet now a big favorite to win the Rookie of the Year award. Not big favorite, minus 155. It's him and Vic, and that'll continue to go back. People are going to find out again that Pop is... I'm not getting into this. I get into this every time. Let me ask you, JY, Sixers-Raptors, if you have any takes on that game tonight. It's an 8.5-point line for Philly. 230.5 is the total.
Listen, this should be a game that, you know, you talked about a guy like OG Anunoby, who's constantly in the news here. But when I look at Philadelphia, you have to always look at a guy like an Embiid because of his performance, and it's a way to just, what is he? He's on this heater of 30 and 10. And where it's literally, it's automatic that he's going to get a 30 and 10. So when you start looking at it, do you start looking at someone like Embiid? Or do you start fading someone like a Jakob Poeltl, thinking that Embiid will get in the foul trouble? The crazy thing about Jakob Poeltl is you're not expecting much out of him, K-Dub, because his points prop is only 8.5 with 7.5 rebounds of plus money. So people already know that Embiid's going after him tonight because Poeltl's props are low. I still think Embiid is going to go off. And I've always, listen, because he's such a sniper and he's got me so many times, I am always looking at Kelly Oubre. I'm always looking at him. Mm-hmm. They've started to move his points prop up, back up to where it was. He was at 16.5. They moved it all the way to 10.5. We came back. It's back to 14.5. He's got to carry that second group. And you know how he is, K-Dub. He will find a way to get shots off. Kelly Oubre will never miss a points prop for lack of attempts. So to me, if it's not Embiid, I like Kelly Oubre over 14.5. I think he can get to 16-plus tonight, leading that second unit of the 76ers.
Let me get another pick on the board for you, JY, here before we're going to hit a break, but then we're going to obviously rip back. We'll do college and the rest of the NBA board. Denver and Brooklyn, these teams played not that long ago, maybe a week or so ago at the Mile High. It was Denver in route. What do you expect tonight at the Barclays Center?
I just think it's two little points. This Nets team, who has played really well, has started to come back to the pack a little bit. It's been a little bit interesting because they were playing well, you know, when Camp Thomas came back. It almost seems like they're kind of like, I don't know, like disjointed offensively with Camp Thomas back. That Nick game, they got absolutely bludgeoned to death. And I just look at a team like Denver, short favorite, 4.5 points. This is a game that Nick Claxton, I'm sorry, is not going to be able to stay with the Joker. And you're starting to get these Bridges great games, Bridges bad games. Last game, really bad. Aaron Gordon is one of the sneaky good defenders in the NBA. Give me the Nuggets -4.5 on the road. I think they went by about 10.
I'm on this game, by the way, for anybody that wants another pick here. As we mentioned already a few times, Spencer Dinwiddie over 21.5 points plus assists. Season low, 2 assists last game. Also, bad shooting. 3 of 11 from the field, only scored 10 points. Dinwiddie has gone over this prop of 21.5 in 11 of his last 14 games, including that game a week ago in Denver. A lot of trust for me tonight on Spencer Dinwiddie, JY. We will go through the rest of the board. We've got, what's this, 3 more NBA picks, 3 more college picks. So we're loaded for you here on a Friday night. It is a quick break, and then we are back at it. Easy, JY. Gunch down, brother. You're going wild.
Ah, with the glasses. Always with the glasses, man. Live on the grid. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Sports Grid, Kevin Walsh alongside Coach James Young for a little bit. Let's fly through it a little bit now, JY. You mentioned you're on a Rockets player prop tonight, not Jalen Green. Where are you looking as we had a little in-state battle with the Rockets and the Mavs?
Hey, you know where I'm going. I'm going to the Turkish treat. I think he's from Turkey, right? Alperen Şengün. I'm going to go over his points prop tonight. Seen it about 19.5. Listen, last time he's played against Dallas, he scored 32 points, I do believe. And a Dallas team that really struggles to defend centers, they give up, I think, the second most points per game in the NBA when it comes to centers. Şengün's been playing well. It's 20.5, sorry. I think this is a spot where he can get busy. No, I think there's going to be points galore. Now, the only concern you're going to have with all these guys with Houston, and you kind of talked about it, is with Noah playing in Dallas, could this be an absolute blowout? Şengün gets busy, didn't score well last game. Şengün over 20.5 points.
The blowout potential is certainly real, right? Look, I would say, though, if you're super worried about it, just lay the 8.5, right? So, but that's not the thing. I thought what was noteworthy, unless I missed something, but Şengün's only 27 minutes played last time out against the Hawks. Not really foul trouble related. High-scoring game. Something to keep your mind on, if we do get Houston playing high-leverage basketball in April, that Şengün is the type of guy teams target. And Ime Udoka will make some maneuvers if he is noticing his big man is being the target of an opposing defense. Also, can I a quick side note, JY? Right now, there are not five players playing better basketball than Trae Young in Atlanta. On fire. For the Hawks right now. And that game against the Rockets, 30 points, 14 assists. He's had 30-plus points and double-digit dimes in five consecutive games.
And he's been playing fantastic basketball. And here's the thing. He has not been the problem with Atlanta. There's everybody else. He's been balling out, Trae Young. So, to me, when you look at Trae, one thing maybe look at is maybe look at his three-point props at 3.5. He's made it in five straight games. Two of those games, K-Dub, seven made threes. He's on this heater right now, K-Dub. He's trying to lead an Atlantic team that, let's be honest, has underachieved in Quinn Snyder's first full year. A lot of guys underachieved. Part of you can look at this is the injury to Johnson. It's kind of Jalen Johnson was playing really well before he got hurt. But Trae Young's been balling out. 3.5 made threes, over 10 in his last 15 games, five straight. Who's checked him on Miami? Not Kyle Lowry, not Mike Lowry, not whoever of the Lowry boys. None of them are stopping him. Trae, over 3.5 made threes, five straight games.
Future L.A. Laker Trae Young? Some are asking. Some are asking. We'll see. Maybe. Something to consider. Probably going to be Zach LaVine, though. Let's talk Golden State, Washington. Big number tonight for the Warriors. Best win of their season in overtime against the Boston Celtics. At home, they've won three in a row now. Washington's in a bad spot. Second leg of a back-to-back off of just their fifth win of the season. What do you expect here from Golden State?
Back-to-back Washington. Terrible team on the road. Golden State's got to get going. Y'all are going to think I'm crazy. The team prop for Golden State is 129.5. K-Dub? I think they hit it. I absolutely think they hit it. The pool party's back, and people want to make statements. I'm starting to think, does our guy do a little bit of damage tonight? Is he, you know, what can we get out of
him? I could care less about him.
You could care less about him.
They can take my money right points. Now if they want. He's dead. He's done.
But listen.
He's done.
Yeah, listen. K-Dub has jumped off the Jordan Poole party like I jumped off the DeAndre Ayton party. Although he did give me a double-double a couple of nights ago, I must admit. But that's not important. Over 129.5 against the worst defensive team on a back-to-back off a win? Golden State should get about 140 tonight.
Last two games that Washington played on the second leg, 136 to Atlanta, 143 to Sacramento. What I will say is on this season, I believe, if I had it correct, Steph Curry, in games he's played where the Warriors have put up 120, I think he has 30-plus points in 9 of the 12, if I have that correct. His points prop tonight is 29.5. Steph really should have himself a major, major game tonight. JY, closing out the association, Phoenix and Sacramento. Important game for both these teams. Who do you trust?
I'm going to trust the Suns. I think this is a spot where Phoenix has got to start to move out. And listen, you could look at it and just say, okay, Sacramento has got to be better if they gave up about 239,515 points last game. But I'm gonna trust here, and I'm going to take the points, and I'm going to take a Phoenix team that I talked about in betting above the rim that needs to start to play better. I get it. They are average, folks, but they're explosive. And I think they explode tonight. Mm. I'm going to take the 3.5 points and take the Phoenix Suns.
All right, fair enough. Let's get over to the college game then here. A lot of interesting matchups tonight, JY. What I think probably the most anticipated game would be Illinois and Missouri. How are you going to attack this matchup?
You know, there's a couple ways you can attack this matchup. You can look at the fact of, okay, one of the last times that Missouri played at home, they lost by 6 to Seton Hall, right? And then you're going to say, well, then Seton Hall went and just beat UConn by 14. Let's also remember that, one, Shaheen is a hell of a coach, but two, Donovan Klingon missed a lot of that game in the second half, and that's when the game turned. So I can't trust that spot, but I can tell you this. I can trust Brad Underwood. I can trust Brad Underwood on the road. I think he's got the best player in the game. I do like Illinois to cover the 6.5 spread on the road. Should be a tough environment, but I don't think they're scared of that challenge. Give me Illinois. This team's playing as good as almost any team in the country. I like it minus the points.
There's a lot of people right now giving Illinois a lot of big picture love. I've noticed they've obviously found themselves inside the top 20 in KenPom now. The schedule has been, look, it's what it is, right? You got to play who's in front of you, JY, but I think they need a kind of game like this, Illinois. So I'm very interested to see if they can get it. Marquette has a big one, a team that played Illinois this year and beat them down, quite frankly. They, though, opened up Big East play. Fantastic. All the good teams lost. Marquette started with a loss. What do you see bounce back-wise against Georgetown?
That is the biggest thing you're going to look at, is a bounce back performance for a team like Marquette. You know, Marquette, obviously, efficiency, they're pretty good. They don't turn the ball over a lot. Georgetown's still trying to figure it out this way. And it's kind of weird, this whole Big East early on, like with these top teams losing. I do think you'll get a rebound performance. Obviously, Georgetown last game lost by 10 to Butler, who is not very good. I think because of the way they lost by 15, playing terrible at Providence, if I'm Georgetown, I don't want to be there tonight, because they should be in a bad mood over there. Give me Marquette Golden Eagles minus 17.5. I would be shocked they win by 25 plus.
I tell you, I was looking at it, and it should not be possible. But on defensive efficiency, Georgetown is the second worst defense. Second worst that Marquette has seen this year. Southern, Rider, Northern Illinois. Georgetown and Louisville get their own conference and make them play, and until one of them figures out what they're doing, they can then be brought back to the real stage.
Sorry to bring this up. John Calipari, stop worrying about Kenny Payne. Don't try to defend this guy. They're awful. I mean, at least Ed Cooley could say, all right, first year there, it was a mess with Ewing, give him time. What is Kenny Payne's like? We're going to start defending this guy now because he was your assistant? Wait, weren't you guys just battling over Wagner? And you took the grandfather and didn't get the kid? Listen, end of the day, I get John Calipari. You want to take care of your guys? Don't take care of that guy. He should not have a job by the end of the year.
I don't think he will have a job by the end of the year. I think Cal, for a lot of reasons, though, has to step up for one of his own. They'll hire Payne back when he is ultimately let go by Louisville. Look, since you brought it up, side note, that Kentucky team rocks. Awesome. Hey, SEC is going to be great this year.
And the thing really quick about Kentucky is this, and you know, I didn't believe it at first. I had John Fant on the Betting Above the Rim podcast, and he said to me, and I didn't believe it. I don't think you believe it either, what I told you. He said, wait till Bradshaw comes back. And I'm like, out of all of them, like, Bradshaw? Bro, this kid's a monster. He is an absolute monster. And you got Shepherd and Dillingham coming off the bench? Like, are you kidding me? This could be the year, folks, that, and it has to be for Cal, where he gets back on the map. They're deep. They're long. They're athletic. This could be a team in Kentucky and Lexington that can make a deep, deep run in March.
I'm excited for the SEC this year because I know a lot of people, I don't like Tennessee that much. Alabama is so much better than their record suggests, but they're going to have a very good conference performance overall to match kind of the hype that exists around what is a 6-5 team. Disappointments. Maryland, UCLA. You think that fits the description, JY? Look at his face. He's disgusted by both of these teams. What are you expecting?
About it makes me sick. It makes me sick because you're looking at two teams that honestly can't shoot. They can't score, and they're both extremely slow when it comes to pace of play. They don't get up and down the floor. I do think this is a game that plays to the under, half-court game, can't shoot, slow-paced, under 130. Think about this. Two usually high-powered teams offensively, it's 130 and a half, and I still think I'm taking the under. That game will be what I call it, K-Dub? I'm going to say it right this time. It's going to be a rock fight.
Yeah, look, that's right. Yeah, when you called a game that finished with like 200 points a rock fight at half, that was the best. It's from FAU game. It is remarkable how bad. Like, so Maryland being bad to me is kind of whatever. Like, listen, everyone here kind of with the sus dog. Like, oh, no. Maryland basketball is not. No one cares. No one cares. I cannot believe how bad UCLA is. I cannot believe how bad they are. I mean, this was a team, obviously went on a great run last year, JY, right? Got themselves to the Sweet 16 against Gonzaga. They've been very, very good for a little bit now. I feel, last few seasons, I mean, this team's lost three in a row. They were 3-0. They're now 5-5. It's right before Pac-12 play. It's a little now or never type of spot here. It's just, they're hard to trust, I know, but the 3.5 points in Pauley Pavilion, I would look towards UCLA. I'm not on the game, but that would be the direction I would look, JY.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way we look because, let's be honest, as bad as UCLA is, who is awful on the road? That would be the Maryland Terrapins. So if you're looking at a side total, the play should be UCLA because Maryland is just terrible on the road all the time.
No doubt about it. JY, great stuff as always, man. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk more in a little bit. See you. Get those glasses out of here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here, it's Game Time Decisions on Sports Grid. I'm Kevin Walsh. Again, great stuff from Coach James Young with us here on a Friday night. Busy Friday, no doubt. But I do want to spend some time on what's to come this weekend. We'll talk about the weekend slate at the top of the hour here on this Friday night. But in the meantime, let's re-rack the NBA a little bit, including a best bet here to open or to close out this hour, which is going to be OG Anunoby over 16.5 points plus rebounds. Potential to hit this on points alone for OG, who has now scored three consecutive games in the single digits. OG much better than that number on the points wise. And then rebounds wise, he's been letting it down. 5 total rebounds in his last 3 games. I expect much better from OG
And you could see that in the prior five games to this three-game run. He was averaging more than five rebounds per game. Bounce, double bounce back spot in both categories here. He has not missed this 16.5 number in four straight. Obviously, he's now missed it in three in a row. And there has been a few times he's missed it three in a row. So it's not one of those things like, oh, he's never been on a streak like this. He has. He bounces back. He steps up tonight in a game that's going to start in about 10 minutes in Philadelphia. And then another game that'll be starting inside the 7 o'clock hour. We've talked about it a few times already. Brooklyn and Denver, 7:30 tip at the Barclays Center. We go Spencer Dinwiddie over on his prop tonight of 21.5 points plus assists against the Nuggets. And let me just check these college basketball start times here. 7 o'clock, Baylor, we lay 40. 40. No problem, though. Baylor Bears are off of two straight losses, their first two of the season. One to Michigan State. I thought it was an embarrassing performance from the Bears. And then Duke handed their business against the Baylor Bears at the Madison Square Garden. What you are going to see tonight from Baylor is win by as much as they want, and I hope that is by 50-plus. They are 50 points better than this team tonight here. Mississippi Valley State has been eking by a couple of covers in this spot. Not tonight here. Love the spot for the Bears. We're laying 40 right there against Mississippi Valley State. I'll be right back, top of the hour. We'll go through the weekend NFL next.